Welcome to At the Organ, a weekly show about the classical organ and its music, heard on organlive.com every Sunday or streaming from our website anytime. Just point your browser to attheorgan.com for more information. Now, let's hear what's happening this week at the organ.
Welcome to this February 21st edition of At the Organ. I'm your host, Jim Logue. 2016 is a year for the next National Convention of the American Guild of Organists, and this time it will be held June 19th to the 23rd in Houston, Texas. Joining me today on At the Organ is the convention coordinator, Rhonda Furr. Before we get into the details of the convention, Rhonda will share with us some excerpts from a brand new article just being published about the convention. It's being published in The Pillars. That's a news magazine of the Houston Baptist University.
Like the priceless treasures that fill our historical and fine arts museums, many of our city's pipe organs are a magnificent testimony to the time-honored tradition of custom organ building. Many of these instruments will be featured in recitals, worship services, and competitions at the Houston AGO 2016 National Convention. This is the premier gathering of organists, organ enthusiasts, and other musicians. At this five-day event, the timeless craft of organ building will be showcased through our city's many exquisite pipe organs. The American Guild of Organists is a professional organization dedicated to the promotion of the organ in its historic and evolving roles and encourages excellence in the performance of organ and choral music, providing a forum for mutual support, inspiration, education, and certification of guild members. Every other year, the AGO holds a national convention in a major U.S. city that reflects the diverse aspects of the Guild and its official work across the country. The American Guild of Organists National Convention will be held in Houston this year from June 19th through the 23rd and will showcase Houston's superb instruments through performances by world-class organists, present world premieres of creative new music, and provide enlightening workshops and inspirational worship services. AGO National Conventions usually attract between 1,500 and 2,000 organists, organ enthusiasts, and other musicians from five continents. The AGO is committed to education and community outreach beyond its membership. The Houston Convention will engage college students, youth, and families by offering significant discounts for college students, a youth day, and family-oriented programs. The convention will host a national performing competition for young organists and showcase several other young artists. The 2016 convention will also feature winning pieces from a church music composition competition. Unlike many professional conventions that employ a staff to plan, coordinate, and execute each detail of national conventions, AGO conventions are designed and led by volunteers who are more accustomed to sitting in an organ bench than learning how to build a web-based registration platform, create contracts, or map out convention spaces. While a national headquarters office provides guidance, the detailed planning of each AGO convention is dependent on the volunteers. Each person involved committed several years to this worthwhile project. We are motivated by the global impact of this gift of time to our area of passion. It has been both a rewarding and exhausting journey.
First of all, Rhonda, you are the convention coordinator, but before we talk about that, tell us about yourself. What are your qualifications in the organ world?
I teach at Houston Baptist University, where I have been for 27 years. My areas of teaching include organ and all the organ-related courses, as well as musicology, which is like music history and music literature, those kind of courses. I've also taught church music courses here and filled in a number of other areas. I have two undergraduate degrees in music from Western Carolina University and my doctorate in organ and musicology from Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. I am also organist at First Presbyterian Church in Houston, where I have been for 11 years. Prior to that, I was organist at Grace Presbyterian Church, at a First United Methodist Church in Houston, and also Willow Meadows Baptist Church. And that's my Houston experience, and then there's other experiences in the church world prior to that.
Now, of course, as your position as conference coordinator, tell us about what are some of your responsibilities for this convention?
The work of the coordinator begins really before anybody else's. I started working on the convention in 2010 when we negotiated the contract for the Hilton Americas Hotel, which will be our convention hotel. And it's a six-year commitment. In addition to that, basically my job is to be principal administrator of the convention. I started off by selecting the committee members for a steering committee, which then each of those people is head of a committee. They're a committee chair, and that was a really important job. Matching the right person to the right committee to chair that committee was really, I think of anything that I maybe personally have done for the convention, that was probably one of the best things I have been able to do, is because I have been able to match the right person with the right committee, and that has been key in those committees' work running well. And as I said earlier, many of those people had never had any experience in the particular committee, but they had all the skill sets, and we looked at, you know, what their interests were, and we matched up really well on our committees. I also assisted the chairs with some of the selections of their committee members. I work in coordination with the executive director of the American Guild of Organists, as well as the counselor for conventions. We have a national council, and one of those committees is the council for conventions, and so I work closely with them as well. I represent our convention to the national council, which is the governing body of the AGO. I chair all of the meetings for our steering committee. I serve as ex officio on all convention committees. I help to establish the convention budget, and I monitor to make sure we stay within the budget, which isn't always easy, but we are on target, and that's worked really, really well. I established the convention timeline, and this is critical so that every committee that needs some information from another committee, that committee has done it, and we can move forward. It's kind of like building a house. If you pour the concrete for the basement before you put in the plumbing, you have big problems. And so working with all these various committees, we need to make sure that the preparation is done and everybody has met deadlines that they need to meet so that we can accomplish our goals by the time we get to the convention. I worked with the executive director of the AGO to negotiate the hotel contract, and then I review all the contracts for the convention.
Now, you mentioned, of course, the steering committee is very important to you. Who are the other people on the steering committee for this convention?
Let me run through some names because I think the listeners will know a number of these people. For the executive team, Ann Frobeter is the executive assistant, and Jeff Hoover is the deputy coordinator. Nancy Ginsberg is the executive secretary, Frank Hayward's the treasurer, and then Alan Merchanoff is our project manager. We have a number of committees. Our finance committee chair is Paul Ofield, and the deputy or his assistant is Charlie Rader. For registration, we have Steve Newberry and John Meyer. Gifts, grants, and donations, Dan Finn and Stephanie Clark. Volunteers, Linda Thomas and Sharon Brumley and Joseph Painter. New music, Krista Miller and Michael Remsen. Performance, Robert Bates and Ken Cowan. Workshops, Matthew Durst, Kelly Devaney and Keith Weber. Worship, David Henning and Don Hermanson. Facilities, Catherine White and Anna Marie Flusha. Housing, Scott Mouton and Mike Mason. Transportation, Kathy Hildreth and John Market. Exhibits, Chuck Delacroix. Promotion, IT, Carol Nave and Jerry Caliendo. Program book and advertising, Andrew Bowen and Ben Harris. Hospitality, Jackson Hearn and Suzanne Anderson. And then the head of our liaisons is Sandy Ward.
One of the pre-convention events is the National Young Artist Competition and Organ Performance Finals. Tell us about this competition.
The National Young Artist Competition, which we call NYACOP, is a very, very important organ performance competition. There are 9 semifinalists, and they are selected from recordings that were submitted during the initial round. From the 9 semifinalists, 5 finalists will be selected in Dallas on June 15th at the Church of the Transfiguration. The semifinalists will then perform a 60-minute program on Saturday, June 18th at St. Paul's United Methodist Church here in Houston. And then the winner will perform a pre-convention recital at St. Paul's on Sunday, June 19th. But let me also mention, we've got a couple other things that would be very interesting, I think, to our listeners. We also have a national competition in organ improvisation, so NCOI. This competition in organ improvisation seeks to further the art of improvisation by recognizing and rewarding superior performance in that field. The competition is open to all organists, regardless of their age or citizenship, and there were 3 semifinalists selected this past summer, and they will perform in a final round that will be held at Christ Church Cathedral in Houston on June 21st. And then the winners of both the NYACOP and the NCOI will also perform at the 2018 National Convention in Kansas City. And then there's probably one more group that I should mention and recognize, and these are our rising stars. It's called the AGO Quimby Regional Competition for Young Organists. This competition is administered by the various regions. We have 7 regions of the American Guild of Organists. And so the competition starts there. And actually, at the chapter level, the chapter winner then goes to the regional level and competes. And then these regional winners, and there's 7 regions, so we will have 7 performers, will also be performing at our national convention here.
We talk about, you know, dealing with the young artists involved, young organists, and as an educator yourself, do you find that you get a good number of people interested in continuing the art of playing the organ?
Yes, there are a number. Unfortunately, we have seen the numbers dwindle over the years, and our many of the college programs that used to have organ performance majors have dropped their program, and so there are fewer and fewer. And as the American Guild of Organists, we are really encouraging young people to study organ and major in organ. We have an aging population of organists, and we are going to need to have a whole generation of new performers coming up and being able to fill the various organist positions around the country. And so this is one of the reasons why we are doing as much as we can at this national convention to attract young people. We have discounted rates for them. We're trying to make it as easy for them to come and as affordable for them to come so that they can get the experience of being here and going to the workshops and hearing performers and just help inspire them to continue their study in organ.
Looking forward to hearing a lot more people involved too. Like I said, playing the organ, I do it at my church here in Pennsylvania. Just a beautiful instrument, whether it's electronic or pipe organ, still a magnificent instrument, and love the chance to play it. I hope more people get involved in it too.
Well, and I am certainly impressed with a number of the electronic instruments. Not every church can afford a beautiful pipe organ, and many of these electronic instruments really have come a long way in duplicating this beautiful sounds of the pipe organ.
Yeah, they do. They sound really good. One church near me, he just had it renovated, and it's a hybrid, plays digital and also their pipe organ, too. So it kind of blends the two together there.
Yes, those have achieved a lot of success by blending the two, and it allows churches to have instruments that perhaps are not as expensive, but still have that basic core pipe organ sound that is then enhanced with some of the digital sounds.
Well, let's get back to the convention right now. I'd like to talk a bit about the convention schedule. What is happening and where?
On Saturday, June 18th, 2016, we really begin with those NYACOP finals that I mentioned earlier. And they will happen at St. Paul's United Methodist Church in Houston. And they basically go from 9 o'clock in the morning to 5 for this final competition. Then on Sunday afternoon, June 19th, we will have the Nyakop Winter Recital at St. Paul's United Methodist Church. We'll also, for another pre-convention event, we'll have Daryl Robinson, who is performing at Rice University, and we'll have a choral evensong at Palmer Memorial Episcopal Church here in Houston. Then the official kickoff for the convention begins that evening, Sunday evening. At 7:30, there will be a festival prelude at St. Martin's Episcopal Church, followed by the opening convocation. And it's really going to be exciting. There's two hymn arrangements by Craig Phillips for this. There's an anthem commission and is by David Ashley White. We have a guest speaker, Graham Knowles, who's the retired dean of the St. Paul's Cathedral in London. David Henning is the director of music there and the parish organist. And so that is going to be a really, really exciting performance. Monday, we start with workshops. There are many workshops. We actually have 74 workshops. The categories include professional concerns, reading sessions, pedagogical and rehearsal techniques, instruments, repertoire and performance practices, and development. So there is really something for everybody with those 74 workshops. We're really excited about it. Then Monday afternoon, David Good will be performing at Foundry United Methodist Church. Marie Bernadette Dufourche is performing at St. John the Divine Episcopal Church. Ludger Lohmann is performing at St. Philip Presbyterian, and there will be a choral evensong at Christ Church Cathedral. And by the way, most of our afternoon recitals are repeated, so they'll be performed, and then people will board the buses and be taken to another venue where these same performances will be performed again, and it gets more people a chance to hear more performances. Then on Monday evening, Michelle Bouvard will be performing at the Co-Cathedral of the Sacred Heart, and this is the St. Cecilia concert, and so it's one of our major concerts, and we will have a commissioned work performed. The work is by Joan Tower. We're really excited about that. On Tuesday, June 21st, again, workshops in the morning, and then our afternoon concerts on Tuesday include a program for piano and organ that will be performed by Raul Pietro Ramirez and his wife Teresa Sierra. We'll also have a performance for organ and viola with Catherine Rodlin and her sister Carol Rodlin performing at Epiphany Episcopal Church. We'll also have the 2014 Nyakop winner, Jonathan Rudy, as well as the 2014 NCOI winner, Patrick Scott, and they will be performing at Houston Baptist University. And finally, the Davidson Organ and Dance Collaborative will perform at St. Philip Presbyterian. Very, very excited. This group, you know, combines dance and light and an organ in what I understand is just this marvelous, marvelous program. And then finally that afternoon, there will be a hymn festival. David Cherwin will be leading the hymn festival at St. Luke's United Methodist Church. The evening performances will include Richard Elliott at First Presbyterian Church, and there's a commissioned work for organ and brass, and then he will also do some solo organ works. And across the street, we have the Houston Chamber Choir with Mary Preston on the organ, and that is at St. Paul's United Methodist Church. On Wednesday, again, we have the morning sessions, and then Wednesday afternoon, we have recitals. Eduardo Bellotti will perform at Christ the King Lutheran Church. Isabel DeMare will be performing at Rice University. Dorothy Papadakis is performing at First United Methodist Church. And then First Presbyterian Church will be doing a worship service with a global music emphasis. That evening, another event, another really major event we're very, very excited about, is we're going to have the choir of St. Thomas Church, Fifth Avenue from New York, singing at the Co-Cathedral of the Sacred Heart. And this is a men and boys choir that is world-renowned, and we are just thrilled that we're going to be able to host them here for one of our evening performances. On Thursday, our afternoon performances include Ars Lyrica, Houston, which is going to be at the Moores Opera House at the University of Houston. The Ars Lyrica is an early music ensemble directed by Matthew Durst, and it's going to be just some wonderful, wonderful performances. Joby Bell will be performing at Palmer Memorial Episcopal. Diane Belcher will be performing at Rice University. The Bayou Book Line will be performed at the Co-Cathedral of the Sacred Heart, and it includes competition pieces that I'll discuss later. And then finally, that afternoon, there's a worship service at St. Paul's United Methodist Church. That evening will be our, Thursday evening is our concluding concert, and we have a lot of surprises in store for our audience, and so I don't want to share very much here, but I will tell you that it's going to be an evening extravaganza of organ music, and we are just thrilled. John Schwant will be one of the two organists. Aaron David Miller will be another one of the organists. We'll have the Houston Symphony with us. Melissa Gibbons will be singing. It is sure to be just a wonderful way to conclude this fabulous convention that we are so excited and have spent so many hours in preparing for our friends across the United States and around the world.
Are there any special events planned, like tours or anything like that?
We do have some special things. As I mentioned when I talked about the performances, in addition to just organ solo performances, we're going to have a program that's organ with silent movies. I think they're going to do Charlie Chaplin movies with this. We have the organ and dance, we have organ and choir, we'll have organ and viola and organs and some other individual instruments. We have 17 commissioned works, and this is really, as far as I know, this is probably a record for AGO conventions to have this, you know, this amount of new music coming to the convention. Works were commissioned for organ, for choir and organ, for organ with brass, for organ plus other instruments, and then several chorale preludes for organ were also commissioned. Let me mention to you the names of these composers, because our audience will know many of them. David Ashley White, Joan Tower, Eric Awazin, Zach Wadsworth, Emmalou Deemer, Adolphus Hellstork, Naji Hakim, Luke Myernick, and then Hans Ola Eriksson, Nancy Gebraith, Aaron David Miller, David Daw, Chelsea Chin, Ann Roberts, and Rebecca Groom-Tavelda. So it's quite the list of commissioned composers who will bring new music to us. Now, in addition to this, and this is something that our new music committee designed and just ran extremely well, was a competition for composers. And the guidelines were that they were to choose a hymn tune that was written after 1950 and set it in a short chorale prelude setting. It's about 3-minute work, and there's going to be a book published called The Bayou Book Line. It will include 33 submissions from 17 different composers, along with 7 of those commissioned works that I mentioned earlier. And 11 of these will actually be performed during the convention. One of their goals of the new music committee was to have composers write things that they said had legs, that will continue to be performed long after the convention is over. And in fact, if you attend the convention, you will get a free copy of this electronically, and then it will also be available for sale in hard copy at the convention as well as after the convention.
Now, after the convention, where would they be able to pick up a copy of that book?
SELA is publishing the book for us, and so they can just go online to any major vendor, music vendor, and purchase it. But it will be a SELA publication.
Okay, and what's the name of the book again?
Bayou Book Line. Yes, Book Line, you know, because Bach wrote, you know, the Orgel Book Line. And because Houston is filled with bayous that help keep us from flooding, they thought that would be a really nice name to call it the Bayou Book Line in honor of the convention and of Houston.
What does Houston have to offer to make this a memorable convention?
We have incredible instruments, and a number of people have noted that they are coming to Houston because of the incredible instruments that we have. Our last national convention was here in 1988, and most of the instruments that will be performed and featured are new instruments. It's just really remarkable. Of course, also the performers that we are bringing in from around the world, just world class. Here's a few other things about Houston that you might find interesting. Forbes magazine listed Houston as the coolest, meaning hip and trendy, major American city. Certainly you'll eat well while you're in Houston, because we're an international city. You'll find that there's this authentically prepared food from all these different cultures that is truly wonderful. Houston is dedicated to the arts. Our museum and arts district outsells the sum of all of our sports teams. It's really, really something here. Houston's inexpensive. You can find cheap flights to Houston, and you know, the food rates, what it costs to eat here is very, very reasonable. And our hotel rate is only $145 a night plus tax, and that's for up to four people. So you can stay at the convention very, very economically. Something I like to note to people who are not from Houston and are from the northern part of our country is that Houston is probably the coolest major American city, because we air condition everything, and I encourage people to bring a sweater or a jacket for our air-conditioned rooms. You might find them very comforting at times.
What kind of budget do you have for this kind of convention?
The budget for this convention is $1 million, and we raise this money ourselves, obviously through registration, ticket sales, exhibits, advertising, and we have raised money through gifts, grants, and donations. We actually received a $15,000 grant from the Wortham Foundation, a $20,000 grant from the Carruth Foundation, and then all of our individual gift giving from people around the city and outside of the city. A number of people, a number of chapters have sent us money. We have received gifts from all over the United States and around the world to help support the convention. We will probably have around 80 exhibitors for our convention, and that will be not only, you know, music of all types, but exhibitors that are exhibiting organs, pianos, handbells, choir music. Universities come and talk about their university, and there's anything related to music and to church music, you're going to probably find an exhibitor who would be willing to show you how they can help you out. We will have 26 buses. Our last couple of conventions have been walking conventions because everything was located closely. Houston is not that way. We, you know, it's not a walking convention. And so we're encouraging everyone to purchase our transportation package. It's $149, but it will get you to all the different venues very comfortably and easy. And it also includes a barbecue dinner after one of the afternoon programs. And that is the best way to do it. If you come and think you're going to, you know, drive your car around, you might end up, you know, being late for some concerts or having a difficult time finding parking places. So we're really encouraging purchasing the transportation package.
Now, how does one register for the convention? Now, also, there is an early bird discount, I believe, until March 14th.
Yes, we have a number of different rates. There's a daily rate. There's a student rate. Our student rate is just $250, and we really, really want students to come. And we are encouraging our students to do things like, you know, give recitals to help raise money to help them afford to come to the convention. We have senior citizen rate and a rate for spouses, and then early member rate, which is $400. And also, by the way, we give the same member rate to our sister organizations. And so many of the people who are listening to this will be, they may not be a member of the American Guild of Organists, but they might be a member of one of these other organizations that gets our member rate. So let me read them off. ACDA, AIO, ATOS, APOBA, CA, HMA, OHS, RCCO, and RCO. And so we are really wanting to be hospitable to our sister organizations, and that's one of the ways that we're able to do so.
Now, what is the website address where people can register?
It is agohouston.com.
Is there anything else you'd like to share about the convention?
We will have a souvenir take-home program book that we're, you know, just delighted. It's going to be beautiful. It will not only help you with all the basics of the convention, but it will be this souvenir book to keep and remember the performances and the commissions that you were able to hear. We will also have a convention app, and it's will add another element to the convention, helping you get from, you know, one workshop to another, sending you messages about updates, giving you all the information related to, you know, historical information on the churches, the venues that we will be at. It will just be this very comprehensive app, and we're very, very excited. And for those who say, you know, I'm not really comfortable using an app, or I don't use it so often, I maybe do Facebook with my grandkids and that's all, we are going to have some college students available, volunteer to load up the app for people, show them how to get around on it, so it will be very easy for them to use. I think that's going to be something that will be added more and more to all of our future conventions as we move more away from paper to being electronic. As with any convention, the AGO Convention offers opportunities to engage with fellow musicians. One of the things that we'll be doing is having chat sessions during lunch. And you can pick a topic and, you know, pick up, a grab and go kind of lunch from one of several different kiosks at the hotel, and then go sit at a table where there is a topic that, you know, would be of interest to you, and it will be kind of a round table conversation, a wonderful way to get to know other organists and other musicians and ministers of music from around the country and around the world. And we believe that this is yet another extension of Houston hospitality that we have, is in trying to help people get to know each other and create friendships that will continue way beyond the convention. We will have a number of friendly volunteers that their whole purpose is to try to make the convention experience for our attendees the very best possible. Houston is known for its friendliness, and this is sometimes unique in a major city of our size. And so we will extend that friendliness to our convention attendees.
I'd like to thank Rhonda Furr, the convention coordinator for the 2016 National Convention, the American Guild of Organists, for taking the time to be with us today. Thank you, Rhonda.
Well, it's been a delight. Thank you for hosting this show and helping us, spread the excitement and joy of the King of Instruments.
I hope you've enjoyed this edition of At the Organ. If you'd like to listen to this program again or to past episodes, visit our website at www.attheorgan.com. You can also like us on Facebook and on Twitter. I'm Jim Logue. Have a great week, and may God bless you.
You've been listening to At the Organ, a weekly look at the art and music of the classical organ. We'd love to hear your comments about the show. Send your email to info@attheorgan.com, or just go to our website where you can comment on the show. There you can also hear this week's show again or find back episodes. The address is attheorgan.com.